Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, the Australian Open, didn't think that we were going to get there, Jared, but we did. It has been run and won. That, of course, by Novak Djokovic for the ninth time. And, of course, Naomi Osaka winning her fourth Grand Slam. Craig Tiley is the boss of Tennis Australia and the tournament, and he joins us live on Sports Day. Craig, welcome.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Jared. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, we're going well, Craig. How are you coping? Did you get a couple of days off?
Oh, you know, it's like you at the end of the event, you've got a few other things to do, but it's certainly a different level of intensity of what it had been before.
It was a real challenge. I think. Don't think anybody underestimated the challenge, but perhaps except for you, because, I mean, I think you knew how difficult it was going to be, but then you lived it, and reading your article in the paper on the weekend, it was actually even more difficult than you thought.
Yeah, no, there's no question. We went into this knowing there's going to be 6 weeks of, you know, chops and changes and having to be really flexible and responsive, but none of us really predicted the difficulty it would be to do what we had to do with particularly all the changes. I mean, going from, you know, fans to no fans and, testing to no testing to quarantine to out of quarantine. I mean, it was constant. I've referred to it as an avalanche of issues. It was nonstop. And particularly because we bring in 1,000 people from all the hotspots around the world. And we had one objective, and that was not to be the cause of a third wave in Melbourne and not to be the cause of any community transmission. And we've achieved that. So that's probably the most gratifying piece of the whole mission.
I don't think we should be getting overly political on this, but I think if anybody let you down, it was the quarantine system itself when you had to lock down halfway through. I think it refocused the attention on whether or not we should have had it. Certainly did for me. I've got to be honest. It's something that shouldn't have occurred, and it would appear as if it was an own goal in many respects by the quarantine people.
Well, I think for us, you know, I mean, it was really difficult on Friday night, the first Friday, when, you know, we were informed that day that that from midnight that night, everyone had to be at home. It's going to be a real struggle because, you know, we had matches on that night. Yeah. Kyrgios was playing team that night and Djokovic was playing Fritz that night. And there potentially could be really long matches. Well, Kyrgios' team match started at 6, and that finished at 11. So we got an hour in before. But the Djokovic match was going into the beginning of the fourth set. So, we had about 3,000 people still in the stands, and they weren't going to listen to asking us for them to leave. And so the only way we would make it happen is to disrupt play and to have the players go indoors and wait until everyone had left. And that was, fortunately for us, it was a pretty seamless exercise. Both Fritz and Djokovic were very cooperative. I would have preferred that not to have happened. It did, and we responded. We did what we had to do. And then we were 5 days of lockdown of playing with no fans. And we quickly mobilized to develop as best as we possibly could a broadcast-only event for those 5 days.
Craig, is Novak's perception in Australia, does he get enough protection and support from the ATP when people come for him?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there's a lot. He says some things which sometimes turn some people off. But interestingly, behind the scenes, he sent me a WhatsApp message when they were in Adelaide doing their quarantine program, and he had a bunch of suggestions to try and help the 72 athletes that were in the isolated quarantine here, where they couldn't leave their rooms, and they were obviously preparing for a Grand Slam, so it was difficult for them. And his message was just a list of suggestions, half of which were not practical or would be allowed, and the other half which were possible. Then it turned out that someone on his own team or someone in the ATP leaked that, and then it looked like he said the list of demands, so which was probably an unfair criticism of him because they weren't demands. We were having open dialogue. So behind the scenes, my conversations with him have always been very good. I must have found this year I found him the best he's ever been. Even though it was a stressful time for him and he was taking a lot of knocks from people, I think in many ways he just tries to help others and sometimes doesn't land on the timing of when not to do that. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's a remarkable athlete, and to win this event 9 times in the open era when this type of competition he's had to face is pretty phenomenal. He said to me right after the match, actually, when I spoke to him immediately after the match, I said, you know, congrats. I said, you know, this just seems to be your court. He said, yeah, every time I walk out here, and particularly when it's the finals, I just have this feeling come across me that just makes me lift my game, and I love it so much, and I get so excited about doing it. So he goes in with a different level of confidence to everyone else.
So Novak actually gets better, Jared. That's scary.
He does. He gets better in the finals.
And ultimately, he's going to, more than likely, almost certainly going to end up with more slam victories than both Federer and Nadal. I sat with Fitzgerald and Woodbridge for about an hour and a half at a 60th some weeks ago and heard them for an hour and a half.
Getting a good run.
It's been good. For an hour and a half, they had this circuitous argument. Neither one wanted to say what I think they will eventually all say. Will you tell us who do you think Djokovic will be the greatest of all time if slams are the only measurement?
Well, slams are not the only measurement, but if they were, I think he will get past 20. He's 33 years old. Although he's not, Nadal's not much older than him. Mm. And if Nadal knocks out two or three more French Opens and sneaks another one in there, I think they're going to potentially all surpass Roger potentially because Roger's older and he's been out for a while. But you know, Roger's also dangerous. He can get back to Wimbledon and he can quickly whip another slam under his belt in 2 weeks. So. But I think it's going to be hard to, Novak is really only two behind on 18, and it's an interesting time for men's tennis. I mean, those three have pretty much dominated the last 12 years, and they're now in a race for slams. And you know, with Serena trying to beat Margaret Court's record, and those three trying to beat each other, the next year or two we'll have some interesting times in global tennis and managing the pandemic too, because. You know, who's going to stay safe and who's going to play where? These are big decisions they've got to make.
Speaking of playing where, can you clear something up for me, Craig?
Oh, hello.
Did Nick Kyrgios ask to play Dominic Thiem at John Cain? And if so, do we give home court advantage?
Well, you know what? I know he loves playing there, so it's ultimately my decision. I put him there. He didn't have to ask for it because I know he loves playing there. And okay. I mean, if he had won that match, he wouldn't have been there. He would have been somewhere else. But also...
Dominic Thiem wouldn't have been happy if he'd lost that.
No, yeah, he didn't like that because he prefers playing on Rod Laver Arena. But also on Rod Laver Arena, we have fans that buy tickets to see the number one player in the world as well. At that night, you had players like Novak and Rafa playing. So that you got to keep that in mind. And also the first week, you know, we play all three stadiums shared evenly. And even though Dom was number three in the world, you know, Nick's not in the top 10. So. You know, that's a court where we also know that, you know, the general fan that gets in on even though we didn't have a grounds pass this year, but they bought a ticket for that and that stadium was rocking that night and that was great for us. Unfortunately, it was the last match of the lockdown and then we went into 5 days of quieter time.
Craig, congratulations on the tournament. Get some more well-deserved rest.
No, I appreciate it. It was good to see you, Sam, and Jared, always good to hear from you and I. Thanks for your support, guys. And it was a historic moment, I think, for Australian sport being able to pull this off. First time being done in the last year since the pandemic began. And it was an Australian effort because the team that put it together was unbelievable. They were fantastic. So they feel like they can invincible right now, can do pretty much anything after they've had some sleep.
Good on you, Craig. Get some of that sleep.
All right, guys. Thank you.